about this.
Our brains change.
Memory is an amazing.
What you think is in
our
there.
Our brains
is
aren't
really
finished. They're not fully cooked yet.
You go with your heart. And you don't have any idea why we're
so
doing
smart.
Most of the things that we're doing. But here's the deal.
That credulity is helped along by the fact that there are things that have an emotional appeal that lead us to want to think in a certain way. I'm Bob Duke.
I'm Art Markman.
I'm Rebecca McEnroy, and this is Two Guys on Your Head. Today, the psychology of fake news.
What has become enculturated in many people is the idea that everybody's got a spin, everything has a spin. And if you see something that you don't like, it's probably because somebody is tweaking the data or spinning something in a way that is not factually accurate. Well, that's a problem, because it's one thing to have an argument or a disagreement with somebody about your interpretation of facts. It's quite another thing to not agree on what the facts actually are.
But this isn't new.
Yeah.
So the concept of propaganda is essentially fake news. It is trying to undermine a particular view of what the facts are that has two influences on people. So one is the effect of a particular piece of false information on your later beliefs. But then there's a second influence, which has to do with your beliefs about what constitutes a reliable source. So even though human beings are by and large credulous, meaning they tend to believe what people are telling them, human beings are also quite good at marking particular sources of information as flawed sources of information. And this happens quite early. So there's a lot of really cool evidence from developmental psychology on this, for example, where so you have a kid who's learning words and they have two sources that they could get a word from. And the experiment starts by labeling an object that the kid is already familiar with. So let's say there's a little rubber duck, and one person says, oh, look, an elephant. And the other one says, oh, look, a duck. Okay. So that's giving you information about which of these people is a reliable source of information. Now there's a new object. And one of the the previously unreliable person says, look, a wug. And the previously reliable source says, look, a Dax. The kid is more likely to choose the word Dax, the one that was associated with the reliable source, rather than the word wug that was associated with the unreliable source, suggesting that they get a sense of who in your environment is giving you reliable information. The danger with this whole onslaught of fake news is that it undermines people's ability to figure out who the reliable sources are in a way that now makes it difficult to know who should I be listening to and who shouldn't I be listening to, in a way that then makes the facts a free-for-all, particularly because most of us live in a world in which we cannot independently verify most of the pieces of information that we have to believe in order to be able to navigate the world.
Right. And just to expand on Art's example a little bit, which is a great example, done with, by the way, very, very young children. The kid can only respond the way Art described if the kid actually knows what a duck is. So if you're talking about something about which you have no information, like you've never seen a duck, and some person says elephant, and some person says duck, well, then that person is just as credible as somebody else. So if you're not, I don't know, take something random. Like if you're not a climate scientist and you don't know how climate data are collected or how many sources there are or how somebody can possibly know what the level of the sea is, like the whole sea, you mean? So you don't understand any of that. Well, you don't know what a duck is. So when somebody calls a duck an elephant, you think, well, could be. Seems reasonable to me.
Now, I know what you're saying out there. You're saying, sure, I might fall for one of those fake news stories. But then as soon as I find out it's fake, because somebody sends me the link to Snopes or one of those other great sites that tracks down these internet hoaxes, as soon as I know it's false, what's the harm? Because, you know, I now I know it's false.
And that would be so wrong.
And that would be wrong.
And
the reason for that is something called the continued influence effect, which is the observation that if I find out something that I later discover to be false, That piece of information continues to affect my judgments. It continues to affect my beliefs, even though I know it's false.
Yep. One of my favorite, well, not my favorite, but one of the most interesting LBJ stories is when he was, this might have been the first time or second time he was running for Congress in Texas, and his campaign was about to put out a story that his opponent was having an affair. And like the day they were going to put this out, one of his aides came to me, you know, we found out that that story was not true, you know. And Johnson said, we're going to put it out anyway. And he said, well, we know it's not true. He said, I know, but let's make him deny it. Because what Johnson understood was, well, once that gets in the minds of people, it doesn't matter what contravening evidence comes out or say, well, actually, we were wrong about that. Because first of all, there's the primacy of hearing that, right? So you got the jolt of, really? And now that's in there. And then there's not a commensurate jolt when you find out that it's not true, right? All the punch comes with the initial exposure to the idea.
Yeah. And we then begin to justify why it may still have been true, even though it was false.
Yeah.
So like who, you start to say, well, why would we even have heard of this if it wasn't true? And on top of that, because memory retrieval happens automatically, now whenever you think about this event or this individual, you also think about that other piece of information. And even if you know it's false, there are two problems. The first, if you're in a hurry, you don't really necessarily have the time to go, oh, I heard this thing, oh, and it's false, so I should discount that, because that takes a lot of effort. And second of all, a lot of the fake news that we get is designed not just to create a belief in a particular fact, but as Bob was saying, to create an emotional reaction. And those emotional reactions, you may still get those, even as you come to believe that this piece of information was false. And now what you get is just an association between that individual or that event and that emotional response, which then affects your interpretation of everything else.
Next week, we'll talk about enculturation with Dr. Art Markman and Dr. Bob Duke. David Alvarez is our engineer, and I'm Rebecca McEnroy. I produce Two Guys on Your Head at KUT Radio in Austin, Texas.